The title of our message today is How to Conquer Moral Impurity. Paul Borthwick, in his insightful book entitled Leading the Way, presents five convicting questions dealing with the moral erosion that characterizes many people today. Number one, are we being desensitized by the present evil world? Do things that once shocked us now pass us by with little notice? Have our sexual ethics slackened? Number two, where do our minds wander when we have no duties to perform? Three, what are we reading? Are there books or magazines or files in our computers that we want no one else to see? Fourthly, what are we renting at the local video stores? How many hours do we spend watching TV? How many acts of adultery did we watch last week? How many murders? How many did we watch even with our children present in the living room? Fifthly, how many chapters of the Bible did we read last week? Thought-provoking questions, aren't they? Especially when we look at the problem of moral impurity in our country today. Two theological students were walking along a street in the Whitechapel district of London. That was a section where old and used clothing was sold. One of the students said, "What a fitting illustration all of this makes." And he pointed to a suit of clothes hanging on a rack by the window. The sign on it read, "Slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price." The other student said, "You know, that's it exactly. We get soiled by gazing at a vulgar picture, reading a coarse book, or allowing ourselves a little indulgence in dishonesty or lustful thoughts. And when the time comes for our character to be appraised, we're greatly reduced in value. Our purity, our strength is gone, and we're just part and parcel of the general shop-worn stock of the world." Yes, continual slight deviations from the path of right may greatly reduce our usefulness to God and to our fellow man. In fact, these little secret sins can weaken our character so that when we face a moral crisis, we cannot stand the test. And as a result, we go down in spiritual defeat because we have been careless about little sins. The process of spiritual erosion. Do you see it in your life? After a violent storm one night, a large tree, which over the years had become a stately giant, was found lying across the pathway in a park. Nothing but a splintered stump was left. Closer examination showed that it was rotten at the core because thousands of little insects had eaten away at its heart. The weakness of that tree was not brought on by a sudden storm, as many had thought. It began the very moment the very first insect nested within its bark. You know, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. We need the Holy Spirit's help. Let's be very careful to guard our purity. Today in our study, we're going to look at the subject of purity, a vanishing attribute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 presents an interesting concept for us. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Every one of us need to take heed to the admonitions that we're going to be hearing today. We're going to be looking at four aspects of sexual impurity. First of all, we're going to look at the cycle of sexual impurity. And there are three aspects that we'll be looking at in the cycle of sexual impurity. Then, we're going to look at the causes of sexual impurity. Then, the curse of sexual impurity. And fourthly, the cure for sexual impurity. Let's begin with the cycle of sexual impurity. There are three things that we're going to be looking at the subject of sexual impurity. First of all, number one, regarding the cycle of sexual impurity, impurity originates in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 18 and 19, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." Within the heart of man, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is deceitful and above all desperately wicked. The heart in the Hebrew scriptures and in the Semitic culture spoke of the mind of man. There's a battle for the mind today in our culture. And impurity originates in the heart or in the mind of man. Secondly, impurity continues and goes further with non-physical sin. First it begins in the mind, and then begins the process of the second look and the fantasy. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Word of God tells us, "I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart," or in his mind, you see. Impurity takes a second step when we begin to look. And here, the verb look is in the present tense. Whosoever looketh, continues to look on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery. Impurity originates as a thought in the heart, but it continues with a fantasizing and a dwelling of that thought. Thirdly, impurity advances, finally, with adultery and fornication. In the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 15, the Word of God tells us and reminds us regarding the cycle of impurity. James 1 and verse 15. "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You see, lust begins first in the mind. It continues with a fantasizing and a dwelling upon it. And then it conceives. The Greek language here, conceives, speaks of a gestation period in which it has had time to ruminate and develop within us. And in the process of time, our inner sin will advance with actual acts of adultery and fornication. The Word of God reminds us that we ought not to err, my beloved brethren, verse 16. Don't go off our planetary course by allowing ourselves to be deceived against the cycle of immorality. Now let's look at the cause of sexual impurity. We've seen the cycle of it, beginning from within and culminating to the place where the devil actually wants us to do that which we have meditated upon. But now the cause of sexual impurity. First of all, there's some practical reasons. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse 14, there is the cause of spiritual immaturity. The Word of God says strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There are individuals, such as these readers here in the book of Hebrews, who were spiritually immature and they were not able to sense and discern between good and evil because of their spiritual immaturity. Another practical reason for the cause of sexual impurity is because of unresolved conflicts at home. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we are admonished in verse 26 and 27, "Don't be angry. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Unresolved conflicts at home will often create bitterness and hostility where they begin then to turn to other individuals at the workplace, by the water cooler, by the coffee pot, where there soon begins to be the intimate communication where they begin to say, "Oh, I can't communicate with my spouse like I can with this person." And Satan sets the snare. And because of an unresolved conflict, they give place to the devil. The word place is the word tapas, where we get the word topography from. We give geographical beachhead areas of geography in our hearts to the devil, whereby he can begin to control behavior. We're not speaking of demonic possession of believers in Christ, which is not possible, but we can be oppressed and controlled as we allow the devil to have strongholds in our lives. We must be careful there. Thirdly, another practical reason of sexual impurity is unmet physical needs. The unmet sexual needs in a home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Word of God reminds us in verse 3, "Let the husband render unto his wife her due, likewise the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but unto the husband. Likewise the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except," and it goes on for two reasons, "prayer and fasting, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." The idea being is that the marriage act ought to be a normal, frequent activity in the home, lest Satan enter in. Oh, let's not allow unresolved conflicts to cause us to use the physical relationship in marriage as a tool. That is an unbiblical response. Not only are there practical reasons for the cause of impurity that we've dealt with in these three areas, but there are some spiritual reasons for the cause of sexual impurity. First of all, number one, isolation from God's Word. Isolation from God's Word will cause us to fall into sexual impurity. In that great psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 9, God's Word teaches the following: "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Isolation from God's word will cause us to fall into sexual impurity. Oh, we need to wield the shield and the sword of the Spirit, and we need to follow in the place of the Lord in obedience. Isolation from God's Word will cause our spiritual demise. Secondly, rebellion against God's principles. Rebellion against God's principles are also able to cause sexual impurity. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Oh, if we backslide from the things of the Lord, we're going to be controlled and filled with our own ways. Thirdly, the admiration of the world is able to cause us to fall into sexual sin, where we begin to look at the world system and seek to lust after the things of the world. In 1 John 2:15, God's word says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." A fourth spiritual reason why individuals may fall into sexual impurity is found in the book of Psalm 101. In Psalm 101, David begins delivering, as it were, his inaugural address, in which he is delineating the principles that will govern his life and his kingdom as he assumes leadership over Israel. And he declares, among other things, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." In other words, he guarded his eye gate. You know, I have verse 3 of Psalm 101 written on the monitor of my computer. Oh, how we need to be careful of viewing questionable and sinful images. Psalm 101 and verse 3 warns us against that. That is a fourth reason why, spiritually, we can fall into sexual impurity. Then, number 5, positioning oneself too near potential sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 22, God's word presents to us an admonition about toying with sin. It says here, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." If we abstain from even the appearance of evil, we will not allow ourselves to fall too closely. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So we've seen the cycle of sexual impurity and the causes for sexual impurity. Now let's look at the curse of sexual impurity. You know, impurity results in broken fellowship with God. I ask you, dear listener, are you in fellowship with God? Have you allowed moral sexual impurity to enter into your life, whether by thought or deed? Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear." Oh, we need to remember that impurity results in broken fellowship with God. It also results in shattered marriages, and at the least, distrust, and at the most, the dissolution and ending of a marriage. You know, impurity may even result in chastisement from God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the Lord speaks to us about the fact that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And the word translated love there is the word phileo, which is used between the Lord and his people, the family love. And it says here in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. What son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you're without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Impurity may result in chastisement from God. Wouldn't it be better that we would repent and break off these sinful practices and obey the Lord? Finally, I'd like to look at the cure for sexual impurity. And these principles for the cure for sexual impurity take us back to Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And I would encourage you to take a Bible, find a Bible. If you're in a hotel room, get your Gideon Bible out from the nightstand and look up some of these scriptures, or wherever you might be. Look up Psalm 119 and verse 9. First of all, the cure for sexual impurity, number one, we need to admit our problem and we need to get clean. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. So admit your problem and go to the Word, confess it, get clean. Number two, not only admit your problem, but number two, affirm your purpose. Stay clean. That's why in verse 10 of Psalm 119 it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Don't let me wander from thy commandments. Affirm your purpose. Stay clean. Thirdly, apply your protection and keep clean. Verses 11 through 16, it talks about the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of His mouth, the testimonies and the precepts and the statutes of God. They keep us clean and in the straight and narrow. We need to memorize the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, when Christ was tested in the wilderness, He quoted from the Word of God in His spiritual warfare against the devil. And if the Son of God used the Word of God as a sword against the devil, should not we, sinful creatures, use the Word of God? Memorize it. Commit it to heart. You'll not always have your Bible with you. Use it in spiritual warfare. Memorize God's Word. That's why it says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Hiding God's Word in our heart. Number two, not only memorize the Word for protection, but personalize the Word of God. David said, Teach me Thy statutes. Lord, I need to personalize the Word of God. When I read God's Word, I'm going to place myself in these passages. I'm going to apply them to my heart. For after all, I'm cut out of the same bolt of cloth that David was. Thirdly, verbalize the Word of God. It says, With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Be a witness for the Lord. Tell others where you stand. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself, as Daniel did. When he was into captivity, Daniel 1:8, he purposed well beforehand to stay straight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, number 4 in verse 14, we ought to finalize the Word of God. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Finalize God's Word. Rejoice in it. Find your fulfillment in it. Then, number 5, internalize the Word of God. It says in verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts, just like a cow chews on its cud. We ought to internalize God's Word, ruminate upon God's Word, meditate upon it. And finally, number 6, memorialize the Word of God. It says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Verse 16, I will not forget thy Word. Are there those tiny little insects of impurity that have entered into your life that are causing the dry rot and destruction of your life? let's confess all known sins. And I'll close our challenge today by reaffirming those five questions that I asked earlier at the introduction of my message. Have you been desensitized by the present evil world? Has your mind been allowed to wander and to fantasize and to go into areas unabated? What have you been reading? If you're having trouble with your thought life, what have you been looking upon? What have you been reading? What have you been renting at the local video store? What have you been watching on the computer? Oh, the Word of God says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every listener, that we might, Father, go to your word, seek the leadership of your Spirit. I pray that if there's one listening today that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they would come to the realization that they cannot save themselves from their lusts, neither can they save their souls from hell. And that's why God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, shed His blood upon the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to confess our sins, that we would be willing to confess that they have separated us from God and condemned our souls from all eternity. And we look to Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to provide everlasting life for us. Lord, may we be willing to call upon Your name and receive You as personal Savior. And while our heads are bowed, God is speaking to your heart. If you've made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I'd encourage you to contact us at the information that will be provided at the end of our presentation. May God speak to your heart. Follow Him. And believer, if we can be of ministry to you, you contact us at strengthfortoday.info, and we'll be glad to provide helpful information and leadership to help you to go on in the paths of the Lord and get started right. Father, bless these scriptures that we've shared together in a practical way, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.